This is Brony AI, and you are listening to Brony AI from Zero to Creator. It's a podcast which is not very structured because I'm still finding my voice, but basically I'm here to share my thoughts, my experience, what I'm hearing, what I'm listening, what I'm feeling, and share that journey with you so you can actually understand the challenges, the ups and downs of starting this creator's career from zero. I've never thought about doing this, and now trying out in my middle age area, something like that, right? So it's like a big pivot in my life, but I'm excited about it, although I can also tell you that it scares me a lot sometimes, but it's something that I feel passionate, and I have all the tools, all the experience that hopefully will make me successful. So today I'm here in tempura store, restaurant called Tempura Tendon Tenya here in Tokyo. And I really wanted to try this restaurant, not like there's anything special, but because when you talk about trying out Japanese food, there are a few of them, such as the most famous one, sushi, sashimi, tempura, ramen, and that's pretty much what we know about. So when you come to Japan, actually, not only it confirms what you already know, what is the Japanese, but it also has additional ones. Tempura, you can actually find a place specifically to eat tempura. And then for tonkatsu, which is this fried pork, you also find specific places for that. So a lot of the dishes that you try outside of Japan are very specific. They actually have a specific restaurant specific for that store. Right? There are multiple ways to try that. You can go to a high-end restaurant and try those food, or you can just go to, let's say, fast food style, Japanese fast food style for that particular kind of food. In my case, for budget reasons and other things, I can't try the more higher-end restaurants every single day. Right? I basically reserve that for very special occasions or situations where I can't eat elsewhere, like the Kobe beef, which I tried in Kobe City. Otherwise, I think by going to the fast food that normally the tourists don't go, but the locals do, you actually will be able to experience the real Japanese food that the most Japanese people are actually trying out. So that's actually a creative way to actually see the issue. Instead of like just eating in the supermarket food, which I did for many weeks, this time, especially at the end of my trip, I decided to just like, let's explore all the Japanese fast food here in Japan and choose the one specific for each type of food. So today I'm experiencing the tempura version of it. I ordered a dish where it comes with prawn and some other vegetables, tempura with soba noodle. I like the buckwheat noodle better than the normal ones, and let's see. And I noticed that basically the combination of one of the dishes is soba and tempura, which outside of Japan, you don't see that often, right? Usually it comes with rice and the tempura or sashimi, a combo of soba, noodle, and tempura. So you arrived my dish, and the presentation is actually great. Usually when you come to this restaurant, even though the place might look a little bit humble, because it's a Japanese presentation, still exceptional for the price you pay. So the food basically comes in a black trail, a wooden black or reddish trail. And then I will explain geographically where my food is. It's a rectangle, and then on the top left corner, it has the tempura dish. I order extra 2 eggplants, but then it comes with the eggplants, tempura, the prawn tempura, I think these vegetables that I don't know the name, which is actually is the mushroom. It comes with like green beans, and then this other veggies that I don't know, and this fake crab meat tempura. It comes with the sauce and sauce for the tempura itself. And then it comes with daiko, which is the, how do you say daiko in English? And then some kind of a conserved vegetables. Actually, it's the daiko too. And then it comes with the sauce for dipping the soba and the cold soba noodle. So counterclockwise, the way that I describe. Let's see. I think to eat, it says itadakimasu or itadakimasu, something like that. Let me try the eggplant. The eggplant is one of my favorite thing. It's right, it's crispy. You know what I discovered yesterday? We don't use panko for tempura. That's a no-no. When you use panko for what we call tempura, that's not called tempura, that's called just fried, deep fried. Believe and learn. So outside of Japan, basically everything is tempura. Oh, this one comes with a fried chicken too. It was behind the eggplants. That's great. And then when you eat the soba, it's on top of the noodle, not in the cup with the sauce, which was the way that I used to do it. To make the soba or the tempura sauce, basically there's two sauces. You can serve like radish. So then you have to use the bonito sauce to prepare water with the big algae. And then you put the bonito flakes a lot. And then you prepare the soy sauce with some other sugar, salt, and something else. I think sake, but I might have to refuse. Set it outside. The way then you mix these two, balance, it tastes with salt, more salt or more sugar or something like that. And then you have the sauce for your soba. Yesterday I did a soba class, it makes me to appreciate better soba. This is a fish cake. So before starting this podcast, I was actually worried about the future of Barney AI, my career in there. Because it's like, first, I'm always observing other people's works, what are the trends, what are the sentiment of the social media. And I think sometimes that creates this illusion of downward trend is that, my accounts are stagnated, which they are not growing as I was expecting lately. And sometimes you get envy or jealous of other people growing better than you do. And even though we are educated to feel ashamed, I think, of getting envious or jealous, I think we just have to be honest to ourselves what we are feeling sometimes. And revealing that to others is actually quite a taboo, even for Western countries, right? When I think about the Japanese, that will never happen. And Western-wise, it just takes finesse, I think, to talk about that. And the funny thing is, all these feelings, they are human. That's what makes us human, right? Being jealous. And they also show our concerns. In my case, not growing means a bad sign in social media kind of person. And then obviously I'm putting all this effort and not seeing results. That's usually concerning, right? It's like, if you're a normal person, you definitely would be. And also, like, I created this paid subscription, the Mighty Pro account, which the first few days I got subscribed, but then now it's stale. In the last few days, I didn't get any. So that also worries me about. But then I think, at least in my mind, I'm trying to think about the negatives, not the positive. So in the last few years, I've been working on that. This mushroom is good, actually. This mushroom is good. So we always focus on the negative in my case. Oh my goodness. I don't have savings for my retirement. I need to have a career because I need to pay the bills. I'm in a new country, new city. I need to find a place to stay. That kind of has been defining my life for a long time. And to be honest, I got tired of that last year. Not that I wasn't tired, but I took actions. And there's a video that I made last year, Instagram heel. I never understood why I was crying out when I was actually creating it or seeing it. And later on, the idea evolved and I understood. I think Brownie AI allowed me to reconnect with parts of my life that I really enjoyed before, focusing on my career, focusing on being an adult. And I don't see it as a loss. So there's no negativity on that. But I felt that, wow, there were so many years where I left this whole chunk of my life behind, the artistic kind of side behind. I used to draw, I used to paint, I used to create video games, I used to create characters, tons of things when I was a teenager. But as I was growing up and finding my job, building my career, I started to aspire for things that, to be honest, it was more materialistic. Not like materialist, but I need to have a better career so I can have better salary, so I can actually save it for a new retirement. And that's pretty much that. And basically, I shut down all these artistic things until the generative AI came back. It just sparked this heat inside of me out of nowhere, and I think that's why I got emotional. In some of my works, I get emotional because they allow me to reconnect to myself. And I promised myself that I would never leave this again behind. And I think I feel pressure that sometimes when I'm not achieving the goals for Brony AI, I'm afraid of not able to fulfill that dream. I'll continue doing what I love to do. And obviously this struggle is not just for me, but for all the other creators and artists. So it's an unfortunate path. And it's hard to manage that expectation sometimes, right? It's like building a startup is similar in some ways. You don't know when you have to keep going, when you have to stop, when you have to take the opportunities and pivot. And life of a creator is similar in the sense that you can still keep doing what you like or what you were doing. But if you don't adapt to the environment, then you are at mercy of the changes surrounding you, left behind in some way. But I also know that when we are in moments of stagnation or perceived stagnation, at least for me, I usually turn that around and I use it to even be more creative and try to pivot, try new ideas. And that's actually how I hope I can get out of my stagnation and also focus on the long-term vision for Bronya, which is storytelling. Being at that edge where I'm not offering full porn or anything like that, but to spark people's imagination. Or, as I was thinking before, for the short term, I might have to do some porn content because I need to pay the bills, right? So, and then your mind keeps catastrophizing, thinking, oh, maybe I have to get a job, maybe I need to prep up my resume. But there's no job in the generative AI. You have to go back to your previous work, which I don't want to. And then you keep swirling into this pit hole of negative things. And I think the good thing about doing therapy or cognitive behavior therapy is that you learn how to detect these moments of catastrophizing, mind reading, predicting the future kind of thing. And you anchor yourself, I still can travel or a little bit more as planned. Once I plan, I have ways to try to see if I can actually sustain myself or at least not having no income at all. And then you anchor yourself back to reality. And regarding about social media, it's not that I'm not trying. You are trying videos. You are trying different contents to not to get flagged by Instagram. And I'm exploring other venues to deploy some of my edgiest content. I have my podcast. I have the Spotify artist page. So it's not like I don't know what to do. It's just like these other venues may work, may not work. Even if they work, they will take time to grow. And I think that's part of this reinvention that I have to do to myself. It's like within a year, less than a year, I have to reinvent Brony AI. Not like reinvent discarding what I'm doing right now. How to find ways to continue be at the forefront. I think this is something that I fight for. Using leverage technology to keep churning out new stuff. Which is interesting because I do have a visual vision of what the digital comics or the story life has to be. But the main driver is actually technology. An interesting thing, which is an endless, as you keep improving and you keep being more accessible for the larger group of people, which means that there will be more content. Right, in theory you would think about, oh, there will be more competition and etc and so on and so forth, right? So there is also this fear that even as a AI creator that I share with the non-AI creator, but I really have to stand on my feet about whatever happens. The skill set being developed on the AI is going to be useful, even though there are detractors that says otherwise, because people don't understand how it works actually. So it's pretty hard to explain why is that. Why just the understanding how to use AI tools is not going to give you edge, because all these tools will be easier for people to use it anyway. But people misses a lot of things that I've seen on the business to business. You have to distill integration. And interesting enough, in the B2B world, the integrators, the people who can offer the whole package, tends to stand out better than the individual niche makers. So who knows if that pattern repeats in the AI universe with Nate's niche. But I would assume so, because you can't be just a piece of what you are as a creator. And I need to go to the gym. I include this podcast, so I share my experience in the tempura restaurant today. But then I also share my thoughts, my worries about my creator's life. And that's another daily experience that I'm sharing here with you. So you can understand that sometimes just generating images, getting the likes and the love of the audience is great. But there's also a lot of things that people don't see. And I encourage you, if you are a creator too, that these things are normal to go through the ups and downs. But it's important for us to remember that it's not just that in life. There's other things that happen. And I will share more the positive too later on. And that's about it for today. Okay? Stay creative. Thanks for listening to Brony AI from Zero to Creator. See you next time.